one of you? Should I give it to someone on the township board?
You can give it to maybe Deb Hamilton, and then she can just send it to all of us.
Okay.
So we have it.
My name is Mary Woodworth. I live at 438 Peninsula Trail, right across the street from one of the easements. And I just met a gentleman tonight. I didn't just meet him. He's been my friend for a long time, but I just understand that he was on your board at one time, and his name is Kurt Kaiser. And this all came up before a judge back, he's thinking back in 92. And Judge Powers, he thought it was, said those easements can't not be sold because they are there for a reason. If we ever went into putting sewers out in that area, they would be using those easements for the sewer. So they have to stay open. They cannot. They've already been ruled. We've already went to court on them. And so he says, if I have any problem, just call him and he will be here. He's at my house right now, so I know where he's at. I can get him on the phone for you if you need have any further questions. He was kind of disturbed a little bit that this was being brought up again when we've already went to court on it once before. That's all I got to say. And some of you might even remember his name. So he used to live on Peninsula Trail, too. So he has gone through the whole walk and being on the board. And he will come in if he has to. And that's all I got to say.
Okay, thank you, Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Any other public comment? Okay, let's move on to approval of the agenda. And we'd also like to add approval of the minutes from the June 25th meeting.
Yeah, could you add approval or review the parks and vacancy property tour minutes? So we could add that maybe under, maybe make that number 5.
That's the June 25th meeting, so I think we'd add that under the Secretary's report for approval.
Okay. All right, so that would be the approval of minutes from the June regular meeting.
Oh, sorry, the June regular meeting. You mean the June 18th?
That's already on there.
Where's that?
Secretary's report, 6/18/2018, yeah, minutes submitted for approval.
Okay, so he is right. It's already on there. Additional minutes, it says. So we want the additional parks vacancy property tour minutes on that.
Yeah.
And then could we add under number 4 then, invasive species, could we add, it says autumn olive, could we add Phragmites?
And what again?
Phragmites.
Where's that at? What park?
It's properties on Rennie Lake.
Okay.
So I make a motion to approve the agenda with the 2 additions, actually 1 addition, which is the Phragmites property, Rennie Lake.
As well as the addition of
right.
June 25th, 2018 meeting.
Correct.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the agenda from the June 25th meeting.
Second.
Okay, we have support. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign. Okay, motion passes. Next is reports. Secretary's report.
I make a motion that we approve the June 18th regular Parks Commission meeting minutes as submitted.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the minutes and second. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Okay, motion passes.
And I know I sent out the email for the minutes late for the Parks vacant property tour, but if everyone doesn't have a time to read them, sorry, we could add it to the next meeting if you'd like.
Could add that to the next meeting. Okay. Any more discussion on secretary's report? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to. We didn't make a motion on the 6:25 meeting yet.
Justin, before you do that, I wasn't there, and it shows I was. So
okay.
I need to be taken off.
Okay.
So there's one thing that needs to be changed. Mark, it looks like Mark is spelled wrong in just about all of them as well. I'd like to remove under item or number 6 on that or salability from that, as well as remove to sell from the discussion on number 8, just because that's not our decision to make. Everybody good with that?
What about 6 and 7 then?
I mentioned 6.
Oh, you did say 6?
Yeah. Yep, I said salability on 6, and then potential to sell on 8.
What about 5?
Is it mentioned on 5 as well?
Yeah.
Oh, yep. I'd also like to remove that. 5, 6, and 8.
Those are the access points.
Okay.
So, I'd like to make a motion to pass the minutes as edited. On 5, 6, 8, as well as removing Deb Lannon's name as attending on those meetings.
And spell checking Marks.
Yes, and spell checking Marks.
Hey, we have a motion to approve the June 25th meeting as amended by Justin, and we have second. Okay, we have support. All in favor of approval, say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Okay, motion passes. Okay, any more discussion for secretary's report?
Treasurer's report.
We haven't got there yet.
We just finished up secretary's.
Right. I was asking if there's any more discussion for secretary.
I don't really want to talk about it anymore.
Said before we move on to secretaries.
Oh, that's not what I heard.
Oh, okay.
That's what I heard. I have more discussion for the secretary's report. Anyway, if there's no more discussion
we're
for
the
secretary, let's move on to the treasurer's report.
Treasurer, wait.
Treasurer's absent.
If you look at the fifth page of our packet, however, it's the East Bay Charter Township Board of Trustees 7/9/2018 regular meeting. Talks about agenda item 5, fund balance adjustments.
I
that looks like another year of hardly spending any money.
That's the money that we asked for back from, was that, I believe, either the from the 2017 to be rolled over into the 2018.
Discussion on that, or do we want to kind of defer this report till next month when Matt might be here?
Yeah, I think it was more so just an update that the township commission, the township board rolled that money over, so.
Okay, and those would look like the amounts we were looking for. Any further discussion on the treasurer's report? Okay, we're ready to move to grants subcommittee.
I can talk about the first item on there. We had a meeting of the health planning team working on the technical assistance grant from Michigan Association of Planning probably 3 weeks ago now, somewhere in there, before Cherry Fest. It's all a blur in between. and discussed a number of different options, and it was pretty much the unanimous consensus of the group that having a preliminary plan, a concept plan prepared for a community garden here at the Township Hall was the project we wanted to proceed with. So I think I emailed all of you to make you aware of that. They've hired Beckett and Rader. I don't know exactly what kind of budget they have because, since this is a technical assistant grant, they're not necessarily overflowing cash, but they have some money to put along towards this. And so we're going to have a phone conference with Beckett and Rader on Wednesday afternoon to discuss the details of it, and then they'll be working on that over the next couple of months. They figure 2 to 3 months to have it done. So probably October when we'll be able to bring something to you, would be my guess. And then we could also incorporate that into the Parks and Rec plan, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When's the dead off the top of your head?
January. Late January, early February.
Is what?
The deadline to apply for the grant, too.
Okay. Yeah. We're excited about it. Exactly where they're going to choose on the site will depend on a few things: accessibility, terrain, water, all those various things. But we'll leave it up to them, and they're going to have a landscape architect preparing that, and hopefully we'll have something very nice to work with, at least as something we can put out there as this is our preliminary plan, and when we go out for the grant funding, then we'll have something to work with. So I know there's already interest, at least among the members of the health planning team that wanted to get plots in this.
It'll be all like township people.
Well,
planning team.
So if you have any questions on that, I'll be glad to answer them, and we'll certainly talk about it more when I talk about the rec plan.
I'd like to hear more about that after your meeting, if you could just shoot an email to the Parks Board or something.
Sure. It's a phone conference we're having from 3 to 4 Wednesday afternoon. So.
Yeah, but I'd just be interested to hear what their recommendations are, any thoughts or anything.
I'm sure you can get minute-by-minute details all the way to Philadelphia, too.
Wow.
So, but, great. Yeah, yes.
That's okay, fine. Great. Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you, Rick.
Thanks, Rick. Okay, any more discussion on community gardens?
Looking forward to it.
Nice. Bike racks?
At our last meeting, we talked about pursuing a grant from Rotary for bike racks and from the Grand Traverse Band of Indians for the warming hut at Grace McDonald, and then the Health Department of Northwest Michigan for the community gardens. Once I got the paperwork from Mark about the bike racks, I realized that the total for that, which is about $16,000, a little bit more, is too high for a Rotary grant. So Beth and I sat down today, and we're going to switch trying to pursue them, the money for those bike racks, to the Grand Traverse Band of Indians. So she and I worked a little bit on the proposal today. Their cycle is we wouldn't be due until the end of November, so we're working to get that package together, basically reworking what you did, Rick, with when you submitted it last time. So putting in a little different format and redoing some stuff with it. So that's where we are with bike racks.
All right. Any more bike rack discussion? All set. Okay, move to warming huts.
I think what we had said is we were going to kind of pursue these incrementally. So I don't think anything's been done on the warming hut, although Beth, you talked about a little bit about it, right?
Yeah. Mike, would you mind if I touch base on that and the community garden very quickly?
No, not at all.
Two things just wanted to note. On the warming hut, I did talk with Bob real quickly about that. The comment that you might be interested in that he made is that he felt like it would be very well received by the public and well utilized. Obviously, you'll be looking at that when you go out for bid, but design, but that'll require some infrastructure. We do have a gas line over there, but we'd have to tap into that and so forth. But that's all feasible. So that's a very interesting project. Also mentioned the community garden as well. I've had feedback from Bob on that. He was happy to hear that I had stressed to all of you and talked with Rick about trying to make it as maintenance-free as possible and making it appealing-looking and, again, also maybe not as use materials that stand the weather well, maybe don't involve as much staining and sealing and so forth. So that'll be one point of it. Also, I wanted to ask you about your feedback. I think that when we looked at this, when we decided on this, we had assumed that you would like to have this on the township property. And I did have somebody ask me today about are there other locations that you've thought of? So for example, the water tower. And I just wanted to get your feedback on that. Obviously, something like that would impact the proposal and the grant grant work that the company would be doing on the consulting company would be doing on our behalf. So I just wanted to see if my recollection was correct and that you liked this location, or were there any, you know, pros and cons to either?
I think the fact that we have water here, we have parking, we have bathrooms. I think this is the best spot.
I also think that the water tower wasn't really in play when you brought up community gardens. Mm-hmm. Wasn't really.
I think a really nice thing about here, though, would be that you have Grand Traverse Academy. You've got so many schools in the area.
That will tie in nice with the Safe Routes to School.
Yep.
And if it goes well, maybe we could have a second one.
We'll put them up all over.
But, yeah, I think everyone was pretty much unanimous here. The location just being conveniently located at the corners there and...
All right, well, I know that they'll take a look at where it's the best on the property. That we've already had one planner kind of take a look around and make some suggestions. And the individual who offered some comments on, you know, where are we putting it and so forth, I think it raised some good points about making sure that the soil is acceptable for gardening, or if you're doing raised beds, and just making sure that there's no contamination, anything like that. And so I'm sure all of that will be addressed. So I appreciate your feedback.
Beautiful flowers out front of the office.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, we might find something that we didn't want to find. Certain soil testing. It's a good point.
Okay, any more grant subcommittee discussion? All set to move on. Okay, business before the Park Commission. Number one, recreation plan update.
Hello. The number one choice for the community garden is the supervisor's office, by the way. We've got a little plot of grass growing there.
I actually do have some on my windows.
Yes, right. Yeah. So, all right. So we've been working on this, and obviously, for the most part, unless you looked at them online, this is our first chance to really look at it. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to quickly go through some of the key things, and then, you know, any feedback is welcome. There's obviously a lot of housekeeping type corrections in it, or changes from the previous plan with the new date and the new members and things like that. I didn't see a reason to get, you know, super adventuresome in rewriting history in terms of the cover letters and approval letters. I figure those will be pretty much boilerplate for when they go to the various boards and commissions for approval as it's going through the process. If there's anybody else you think that needs to be acknowledged that I didn't include, please let me know. Just send me an email. We can always add more people on there. I just went with the ones that were the most obvious. But if there's others that have been involved at some point along the way that should be included, please let me know. The table of contents, I didn't change the page numbers yet because I'm waiting until the final version to do that. I didn't see a reason to change that every time I made an adjustment in it. But mostly the changes are cosmetic early on, like when we talk about the history of the township and the physical features of the township. Not a whole lot of that changed. It's not like we had a big earthquake or something to change everything. I did update some information on climate and some transportation issues that have come about. And then probably the biggest change is on page 9 and 10, where I have the updated 2016 population estimates for East Bay and the other communities in the county. If you might notice, based on those numbers, we have the second biggest population change since 2010 behind the city. I think 777 new residents, where the city had 997. The others are all on the plus, except for Fife Lake. And Fife Lake's kind of an anomaly. That's because of the prison being closed.
Mm-hmm.
And it will actually drop another 1,000 beyond that, because they had 1,200 prisoners there. So Fife Lake will lose 1,200 residents.
Interesting.
Yeah, because prisoners are considered part of the population. So, yeah, so that's why Fife Lake's number's down, and it will be down probably another 1,000, because I think there were roughly 1,200 prisoners there. So the township, not the village. And then I went through and then updated the population projections based on the various scenarios that are provided in the previous plan. The estimates for the township are anywhere, well, for 2020 we say roughly 12,200, 2030 14,400, and 2040 16,800 and change. But knowing some of the potential projects that are kind of on the horizon, such as Elmbrook and some others, we could have quite a bit more growth than that. If they end up doing the Elmbrook project as proposed or as conceptual, we'd be talking 630 dwellings just there. And then we had a sketch plan shown to us for the 80 acres east of Grand Traverse Academy last week, and that was another 177. So,
dwelling units, is that what you said?
Yeah. So, yeah, because I'm saying that because some of the developments are multiple families, some of them are single families, some of them are condos. Then I updated it for the updated master plan that was adopted in 2015. And made adjustments to the recreation planning segment that talks about the master plan to correspond to that. Same with the zoning map. And then we got a little more into the meat and potatoes, starting with page 24, where we talk about the recreation planning. I go a little bit into some of the changes at Grace MacDonald Park that have been made. I caught a couple of little changes. Traverse City State Park, it had is 45 acres. It's actually 50 acres. For some reason, the acreage on the north side of 31 was not counted in, just the south side of 31. So where the beach is wasn't counted. But in particular, we get into institutional ownership properties starting on page 28. And there were some areas that I thought should be added in, and then there was an area that I wanted to ask you about. Added in our Grand Traverse Regional Land Conservancy because they have 9 parcels consisting of over 200 acres in the township and maybe potentially more down the road. The Tart Trail we thought would be important just to call out. The North Country National Scenic Trail, while it barely touches the township by crossing a bridge, and that's the extent of it being in East Bay Township, it is part of the North Country National Scenic Trail, which is also part of the Iron Bell Trail. It's the walking part of the Iron Bell Trail that goes from Ironwood to Belle Isle. There's a biking component and a walking component, and it's part of that.
Rick, number one on there, the Rotary Camps, I've got some updated information for you. So
okay, if you could do that.
That's
all right.
No longer really run by the Boy Scouts.
Okay, good to know.
We vacated the property.
All right, so if you could email me, that'd be great.
I will.
Then when you get in a commercial/private ownership. I added the private part because I think some of these, like Elmbrook, is privately owned, even though it's listed in here. Obviously, Elmbrook's status is up in the air, so I added a paragraph to that effect because it may not be decided by the time we adopt this, but over time, if things proceed, it's going to change. Now, they are talking about it. 10-year plus or minus time frame to develop that site, and they're not planning on eliminating the golf course right away. It's going to be kind of pared back over time, maybe going from 18 holes to 15 to 12 to 9, something like that. So it's fine to have it in here, but its status is going to change. Obviously, Pebble Brook doesn't exist anymore. It's been tough times for putt-putt. and then a couple of additions with Mount Holiday, such as having zip lines and then center ice. I added that there's hockey and curling going on there as well. Mm-hmm. On the following page, page 30, Holiday Woods Preserve, that's a recent addition with the effort by the residents out there in Holiday Hills to preserve that 81-acre site. I also added that it may be a catalyst towards a multi-property combination of properties with Holiday Hills ski area or Mount Holiday ski area. So we'll see where that leads, but I just at least wanted to address it. The one area where I wasn't sure, and in the accompanying recreational facilities map, I had updated to include these on it. But the one area was unsure why the previous plan went this way. It shows the public schools sites like Cortade and Cherry, and all those. But it doesn't show the private school properties. And I'm trying to figure out if there was a rationale or a reason behind that. I mean, there is certainly property at Grand Traverse Academy, and there's certainly property at the Catholic Middle School. Now, whether anybody and everybody can go use them, I don't know the status of that, but it is recreational amenities that are on in the township. So I didn't know if you wanted me to include those properties, since we're already including public schools, whether we should include private ones or not. And I guess that's a question I'm seeking guidance on. Because we have Traverse City High School, we have East Junior High in Cherry Knoll, and we have Corte, obviously all public schools. But I didn't know whether, you know, we've got a pretty good amount of acreage that's at Grand Traverse Academy, a pretty good amount of acreage that's at the Catholic Middle School. There's tennis courts there, but I don't know if those are necessarily open to anybody to come and use.
I guess maybe find that question out.
Yeah.
I would assume that they might be open.
I don't know. Is the intent to identify those as available to the public?
It's a database of community facilities that are available. And private and institutional is one of the categories, and obviously those are both private schools.
It is a public charter school.
Oh, that's a public charter school? Okay, well, then that one probably should be on there.
Mm-hmm.
So
now, whether or not, you know, they have things out there that can be used by the public, who knows? But I think your intent, isn't it, just to identify recreational areas, whether or not it can be used or not used. You're not really identifying that on this map.
Well, that's
true.
I mean, you can't just walk in and use center ice without paying
right, and
stuff like that. But I could at least make a few phone calls and see if I can find out a little more.
Because who knows? You know, maybe someone that is giving grants, when they look at this, might say, well, this area is, you know, has lakes, it has a lot of recreational area, depending on whatever grants are going out, that might be an asset to see that
right, on
a map.
And if you look at, you can see the difference between the new map and the old map in what I gave you in the packet. The new map is near the back attached, or is on your desk. It may actually be on your desk separately. So the areas shown in light brown or beige are the areas that are owned by the Conservancy.
Mm-hmm.
So that there's a number of additions there. Quite a few of them up by the industrial park, which really surprises me.
This is the new one?
You're right.
Yes.
And this is the
old
one.
Yeah. So... And then we added the area up there where Holiday Woods Preserve is off 5 Mile Road as well, and Mount Holiday. On the trail map, which is also one of them that was provided to you this evening, there's two changes on there. I'm going to correct one aspect of it, but the TART trail is shown in solid red, both along the corridor along the lake shore or behind the lake shore, and then a little bit down 3 Mile to South Airport Road. Well, we're in the midst of trying to get Safe Routes to School grants to extend that 3 Mile trail all the way down here to the schools here at Hammond and 3 Mile Road. They showed dots up to about Hammond Road, but they didn't go beyond Hammond Road, so I said, you know, I really would prefer you, since this most of the schools are south of Hammond Road, at least go a dot or two beyond Hammond Road to represent that. So they said that's not a problem. So that's the main change on there. I know there was some talk before the meeting whether there should be a trail really shown on 4 Mile between Hammond and Potter, when one would need a jet ski instead of a bike to probably get through part of that. But I guess that's up to the commission whether you want to keep that in there or not. You know, it can always be a wish list, I guess. Or there's always the chance of putting in a boardwalk as well across there.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have a question?
No.
Okay. All right. So those will be taken care of. And then among the other maps that you received, we're basically updating the zoning map and the future land use map to match with what they currently represent. Because both of them that were in here before basically were out of date. There's not a lot of changes. You might have to squint to find them, but that's basically just to bring it up to date. Those were the primary things. Then when we get back into the recreation planning, I went into some detail about the various goals. If you have additions, comments, or corrections to the goals and objectives, I would appreciate them, because I kind of just, you know, went with my gut on that to some degree based on what I know. But if there's something more detailed you want in them or some additional wording, please add those. And then I used last year's budget, because obviously we don't have 2019 even projected yet. And then in terms of the actual specific projects, we have priority one was the warming hut building and pickleball courts at Grace McDonald Park. And I assume that's still number one. And I got a blank page in here for some reason. Number two, I put, because it's kind of on our radar right now, is the community garden.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount I put there is based on what Dusty Christensen had given us.
Okay.
Now, it's possible when we get the design from Beckett and Rader that the dollars and cents are going to change on that. But and my guess would be probably upward.
It would be a much more accurate number.
Yeah, right.
That looks like a good price there.
The bargain basement price, right?
Yeah.
Number three, I have Killingsworth Park. And if you have any issues with this order of importance, please speak tonight or send me an email. That was, and those numbers are in there for you, kind of based somewhat on what was done in 2016 on Grace McDonald Park. Then our Butte Lake Park, I have some of the numbers, but the barrier-free kayak launch and the retaining wall and stormwater erosion control, I didn't have any numbers to go by. And so I did get an estimate from Brian Souza from Wade Trim on what it would take to put those numbers together, and he said no more than $1,200. So I would need authorization from the Park Commission to do that.
So, Rick, that's not coming from Dusty, because I thought he was the one doing the plan for...
Well, we had asked him for a dollar amount. He had quoted us $1,800, but that was for several aspects. Part of the reason we talked to Brian was speed to some extent. I know Mansfield's very busy right now, and Brian said he could get this cranked out quickly. That's not to say Dusty couldn't, but I know he has a lot of other things on the plate. And
so he would be looking at how much did you say? 1,800?
12. Mansfield was 1,800, but it wasn't just for this. It was for numbers on some other things as
mm-hmm.
well. But Wade Trim's was 1,200 for this specifically, maximum of that.
I thought Dusty was already working on,
for
months, has supposedly working on a plan.
I checked with him, and he's done no numbers on that. He did that draft drawing.
Right.
But he hasn't done any.
That was all. Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I assume that was it, because that barrier-free kayak, we just went off of what was at Jen's Park, basically, and that's just sort of off
right.
the wall there.
Right.
You know, so.
So, and then priority number five is getting property access, and I added lake access
mm-hmm.
acquisition there too, in case we ever get a chance to acquire that 4 mile road end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for whatever, you know, because I know one of the key things that was brought up by business owners along US 31 is it would be nice if boaters had a place to park their boat and come use their restaurant or their business or whatever. And right now, there's no way to really do that conveniently. I mean, you have to go pretty much over to East Bay Marina there in Acme and then drive down or something like that. But if somebody's in a boat and they just want to get supplies or they want to stop, get off the boat and have dinner or something like that, they can't do it right now.
In so East Bay?
In East Bay Township,
yeah.
Right. So that was seen as a possible option is creating some type of public dock out there.
Oh, wow, like a full-on
dock at the end of 4 Mile? Is it a boat launch now? Legally?
I wouldn't recommend it.
Oh, okay.
Because of the condition that's
it's
in.
It's undragged, well, so it'd be very shallow.
Yeah, well, that, yeah, and I don't think it's in the best of shape. It hasn't been maintained in recent
I've
years.
I've never once even...
Right. So that was just, you know, a priority to have open in case it becomes available, because it could be quite an exciting amenity to the beach district up there. Or if somebody just wanted to come and, you know, see friends or go sit on the beach for a couple of hours or something like that. Right now they have to have a dinghy or something like that to do that. Or be like the Marines and storm ashore or something. I don't know. So, and then priority 6 was trails, study, and site acquisition. I really didn't change anything there because that pretty well covers the gambit in what we are looking to do. Beyond that, I have, you know, blank pages for letters of support and whatnot. I don't even know how the county handles these days. Now that John Sykes is no longer there, whether they have somebody that actually reviews these, or if the county planning, county parks commission looks at it. There's not a county planning commission right now, so we'll have to do a little bit of research on that. But it gives you an indication where we're at, and I'm looking for feedback on whatever you can give me to kind of tie up these loose ends. We got a little bit of time while we're waiting for that community garden plan to come in. But I don't really want to put it off to the last minute because it always seems like you're scurrying about trying to find things at the last minute. I'd rather get it done ahead of time. Mm-hmm. I provided you, obviously, the copy of the Grace McDonald Park concept plan that hasn't been changed since last time, but shows some of the things we're talking about still with the warming hut and the pickleball courts. And then the concept plan that Dusty put together for Arbutus Lake Park is there as well. And depending on how you want us to proceed on that, we can either contact him for further information, or we can use that in what we provide to Brian Souza so he can get his cost estimates to us for those additions out there at that park.
So Rick,
he didn't want to go out there and walk the site. So.
Who, Brian?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's walked it several times. Yeah. He might as well walk it again. But, yeah, I mean, this at least we have somewhat of a plan. Where is Arbutus in the priorities list?
It was
four, I think.
Number four, I believe.
They shared a page with somebody.
It was the lower part of another page, yes. Yeah.
Page 48.
Yep.
Okay.
It was right in the middle of page 48. Like I said, if you folks have a different set of priorities, if you'd rather move Arbutus Lake to number 3 and Killingsworth to number 4, I'm fine with that. I took authoritarian liberty with it.
I think what happened, and to Killingsworth, I mean, we had it somewhat guesstimated for projects under 100,000, so we were really off by that. So I'd like to see Arbutus moved up before Killingsworth. I mean, for that amount.
Well, Arbutus was number one priority.
Yeah, it was.
What's currently the number one in that?
Grace McDonald.
Grace McDonald.
So you get the warming huts and the pickleball courts in.
Yeah.
That was.
Finish that one.
I have a feeling when you get all the things thrown into Arbutus Lake Park, you're probably going to be approaching 100,000.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
You're already got 44. You got 59 right there.
Oh,
right
for
now.
Sure.
Yeah, and we had said Arbutus was number one priority for over 100,000.
Okay.
And Killingsworth was the Pines. Killingsworth was number 5 priority of under 100,000. So basically, it was the bike racks before Killingsworth. Pines Park was just priority before that, but really, Pines Park just sort of
so
the wayside right now.
Well, I mean, if you want to move Arbutus Lake Park up, that's fine. I'm just need direction.
I prefer it would be because, I mean, we really want to start pushing those grants for Arbutus if we can even have a bathroom, so to speak. and other amenities that we want to do to that according to the plan. I mean, we already have the plan ready, you know, somewhat. We just need that last piece. If Brian can push that faster, that's that much step closer to getting our Arbutus on the priority. And then maybe move Grace to 3, because the community garden seems to be moving.
They're all priorities, so
right.
I think the only reason we're listing them as priorities is for grants writing,
correct,
to make it look more
important.
But that's not fair. I mean, this is supposed to be through 2023.
Well, here's the thing. Here's what I'm thinking. Grace McDonald is something that, correct me if I'm wrong, but seems like it'd be very quick to finish up. The warming hut and pickleball courts. It's two things which would easily probably be under $100,000. I mean,
unless it's quite the fancy warming hut.
Yeah, yeah.
The Hilton of warming huts.
Can I offer one thing? As far as Grace McDonald, the paving with the parking lot.
Right.
With
yep.
the addition of what we had switched around in fund balance adjustments, you have $110,000 in there. And I did email Brian Souza, and he said you have, from what he's looking at on the plan, sufficient funding for the paving of that.
Okay, good.
And, you know, we may even have some to allocate elsewhere after, although famous last words,
right,
until you get the bids in.
Right. Next year will be even higher.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm thinking leave that one up towards the top because...
Arbutus?
Grace McDonald.
Grace.
Because as soon as we get it done, we can take it off the list. Or move it all the way down to the bottom because, hey, we don't need to do anything with it now because we've gotten our goal done. I mean, do you understand what I'm saying?
I do, but I see it more of Arbutus was our, mm-hmm. and always has been our number one priority.
Yeah.
To move that.
And I'm agreeing that Arbutus is very important.
But that doesn't necessarily mean these others are not
right.
as important. They're just
no.
smaller projects.
Yeah, they're smaller projects, which is why I'm saying...
And the smaller projects might be easier to fill for grants out there than the larger ones.
Yep.
But if you had the larger ones on the top side, I guess in the grant writing world, that might be good for push that to number one priority.
But still, I'm seeing Grace as...
And Grace is almost there.
Yeah. How long ago did you guys start, Grace? I mean, with the last Parks Commission, you guys...
How long what?
Couple
goes,
years ago.
Yeah, did you guys start on, like, the bathrooms at Grace and just upgrading stuff in the park?
Probably 2014.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, we're so close to having it done... that why not keep it at the top, finish it up, and then we'll move on to Arbutus.
Well, that's your opinion. My opinion is just the opposite.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm just sticking to what we decided on. Bigger.
About some of the other.
I'd like to see Arbutus as our number one priority.
I'm more with, I agree with Justin, in terms of just getting something done and then and moving on to the next thing. And I kind of like the community gardens is now at 2, so are you saying you want that?
Yeah, I like that too.
you know. And does it really matter? I mean, it matters, but these are all our priorities. And, you know, I would definitely like to move Arbutus to 3 and Killingsworth down to 4.
That.
But
yeah.
Other than that, does it, I mean, they're all...
I kind of agree with Justin. I think once we, you know, once we get the project done, it's done and off the plate. And because I think that Arbutus is going to be a larger project and it's going to take more time to complete that.
Okay.
But if we can take care of the smaller ones, get them done, then we can move on to the big one and concentrate our efforts on, you know, one big project instead of having, you know, a whole trail of projects still on the agenda.
And it doesn't mean that we're not working on other things.
And it doesn't even give a specific year. It just says we'll be undertaken as funding becomes available. So if it becomes available earlier, then we move earlier. If it takes a while to get the funding, then we move a little later.
Well, we have to switch Killingsworth and Arbutus.
Yes, and that's no problem.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think everybody agrees with that.
That makes me happy.
So I make a motion to move Killingsworth to number 4 and move Arbutus up to number 3.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion to move the projects. We have support. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign.
Aye. Aye.
Motion
me,
passes.
Myself, and I.
Do we need a motion to spend the $1,200?
Yes.
Okay.
And that should be a roll call since it's expenditure.
Yeah.
Okay.
I make a motion that we spend the $1,200 at top, $1,200, for Brian to come up with that estimate that's needed to finish off Arbutus 5 planning.
Okay.
Second.
Yeah, I have a motion to spend $1,200 for Brian to finish the Arbutus planning and support. Roll call vote.
LaRose?
Yes.
Brent?
Yes.
Layton?
Yep.
Hintz?
Yes.
Clannon?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Motion passes. No, not at all.
Rick, in taking a look at the DNR Trust Fund grant that we may look at for property in and around that Woodland Preserve and Mount Holiday, and then the Safe Routes, and that would involve trails, and then, of course, Safe Routes to School is trails. Do we have trails sufficiently positioned in the rec plan?
Well, it's listed as number 6, but it's ongoing. It's listed as ongoing. Your actions will be undertaken as ongoing. So as funds become available, I don't think it's something that's, I mean, yeah, it says priority number 6, but I don't think that means it's
sixth
in importance. It's just listed as number 6. I suppose we could, if you wanted to, move it ahead of the property acquisition to move it up one spot. But since it's an all, both of them, property acquisition and trails and site acquisition, are both listed as ongoing, so we're constantly looking for that. So I think we should be okay.
So just a question out there. Do we have to list priority? Is it a requirement to list? Or these are our priority projects and not have them listed, though we could still have them in a list, but not priority 1, 2, 3, 4.
I'll look into that. I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
I mean, it's been the wording that was used, and maybe there's a, you know.
Yes, so I'm suggesting if we don't have to use number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, to just avoid them, and these are our priorities of projects.
Rick, thank you. I know your office has been totally overwhelmed, and thank you for taking the time.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
I greatly appreciate it.
Yeah.
Greatly.
Right,
every little bit. Tremendous good job.
Tremendous good job.
And one more for the recreation point. Deb, did you want to, did you have comments on the old Boy Scout camp, Camp Gorilla?
Yeah, I'm going to send them to Rick. It's
okay.
The acreage is wrong, and it indicates that it's still run by the Boy Scouts.
Right.
We know that it's not. So
right. It's.
I'll get that update. I'll work with Nick and get that updated information and get it to Rick. Yeah.
Well, they were leasing it, so to speak, weren't they, the Boy Scouts?
Yeah. And we don't anymore.
Yeah.
They don't. Yeah. Rotary operates it now.
And speaking of monies and priorities and all that, don't we have to have our budget in? So we should be thinking about working on our financial budget here, even if we have to have a special meeting. Because really, we don't. Go ahead, Beth. Because really, I think we have only August then, and they have to be turned in by September.
Right. Your packet went out, and then subsequent to your packet was an update was the budget.
Mm-hmm.
That is for 2019. And as I mentioned in there, that's for you guys to take a look at in July. But really, you probably will make your decisions in August and can submit that. We'll roll it right in with the rest of the budget. It'll go to the township board, our meeting in September.
Right, and that's when we would compare last year's to what we spent to what is allocated for the upcoming year, too. So all of that, including in current projects. So it really takes a good look at those numbers.
Yeah, and what I gave you was the last 5 years of expenditures.
Oh, good, yeah.
And
good.
Then what you had budgeted for this year compared to where you were at so far in this year. And then, of course, you have your balance sheet, which gives you your fund balances for those specialty projects that you're looking at doing. I'm trying to think if there's one other area that I wanted you to consider taking a look at, and that is with Jen's Park. I guess I'll kind of go into that with the purchase updates in a little bit, if that's fine with you.
Yeah, when we that's talk fine. About the picnic tables. Okay. I just wanted to bring that to everyone's attention.
Okay, any more discussion on the recreation plan update? Nothing? Okay, let's move on to review of property tour.
You know, back with that rec plan just briefly, do we need to come back maybe at that next meeting and put it on the agenda? Do we see any additions or changes and make a decision to get it as finalized as we can? So maybe
probably a good idea.
Want to put that on, whether we have a special meeting for the plan, for the rec plan and for the financial budget, or we just have just those two topics, which will both take tremendous amount of time, possibly, or not. We could do that for August meeting. Mm-hmm. But that's cutting it close in August if there's errors on the financials. So I'm just putting that out there for thought.
Okay. Thanks, Susan. Okay, review property tour.
All right, I'll jump ahead to number 7. When we first started working on the plan update, we had made pop-up parks one of our under 100,000 priorities, I believe. Because I know, Mike, you talked about some pop-up parks in your neighborhood, and I was looking at this number 7 as a pop-up park. As you guys know, I'm interested in building stairs down to the water, and now I know that the community uses it even more than I had earlier had anticipated. So if that's something...
I think with all those properties, we put in, we're all questioning liability. So that was, I mean, all of us question the what if, you know, what about liability, you know, if we do things or if we don't do things. So that's a question for the township to tell us, I guess, on the liability currently as it stands now or future. I mean, I'm sure there's some liability even as it sits there right now.
Oh, sure.
So I think a lot of that was hinging on the liability for all those properties that we viewed.
Right, but like you said, there's liability there now. And my other concern is, do we want to consider sliding pop-up parks back into our rec plan? And about the liability, are we going to, Beth, may I ask you, so what do we, how do we approach this? If we want to put stairs in at that access point?
Well, you would make a recommendation to do that and look at what the funding source would be for that. Again, I'd want to check with PAR plan. You would want to have a park plan site. I mean, I don't think that you would want to just place steps randomly on a parcel that we own and don't use. I mean, I think it would have to be kind of a designated approach. Again, some of these difficulties with these properties are the condition or state that not they're in, but their geography.
Deep.
Yeah, they're very steep. So, for example, if you're talking stairs, and it's not a park that's maintained, you know, you worry about, you know, I mean, for example, Jen's Park, we have that planking stair or planking walkway on the way out there. that's becoming an issue, and I'm going to talk to you about that in a little bit. We're power washing that, and because of how it's on the ground, it's just falling apart, and we're replacing a tremendous amount of boards every year. Just naturally, we're doing that. Now that we're power washing it and cleaning it, we're doing even more on top of that. So it becomes a maintenance issue, becomes a liability issue.
I understand, but I've just, you know, been told by the public that ice fishermen are using it. So what's the difference between ice fishermen using it when it's covered in snow and falling and breaking their necks versus, well, I guess the stairs are under the snow, but my point is, what's the difference between...
I actually think all those properties, those easements, should have signs, and I know when we made signs, we made extra for East Bay Township, property of East Bay Township, for all those. And I know over there on that property, the 597 Peninsula Trail, that has an older, did have an old metal sign on there. So, again, I think it's all going to relate. We can't really suggest things until we know what the current liability is, I would think, insurance-wise, and then go from there if it's a possibility.
Another thing I can check on, but, you know, Corey, is to your question, I mean, I'm not an attorney. However, the expectation is when you have something put out there that you are responsible for maintaining it. So, for example, we put in sidewalks on US 31. We had to do an ordinance, a maintenance agreement with that, where those sidewalks are actually closed in the winter. So there's other things that you have to take a look at and make sure that you're covered from all approaches. So I would have to check with our insurance company regarding that and counsel regarding that. But I think primarily on those, I would tend to be careful of just, you know, it not being a park. So, for example, on Killingsworth, that's an identified park where you have improvements that we routinely have maintenance addressing things at that park. So, but I can find that information out for you, certainly.
Yeah, I think, Corey, that has a lot to do with what the possibilities are, if there will be any possibilities with those. You know, and again, I come in question with the liability currently as they stand, all those properties.
Yeah, that's my question, too.
You know, right now. So something needs to be looked at, I guess.
Any other comments on any of the other sites we visited?
We never did go to Pines Park. So that poor park sort of gets brushed under. We should make a special day to go see Pines Park. Or what's everyone else's thought? We just ran out of time, basically. It was getting dark.
Not really. It was just 8:15.
Well, it was getting dark, so it was late.
Pines, I've been out to Pines. I mean, it's nice.
So maybe we could put that on the agenda for next meeting, Pines Park, and we each take time to go out there, come back with our suggestions, and come up with a synopsis, and I can add it to the parks tour minutes as an addition or however, at least so we have you know, some kind of recorded action of our thoughts. Does everyone agree?
Sure.
I think it's doable. Hey, review a property tour. Any more discussion?
Yeah, I have something to add to this. When we moved in 30 years ago, there was a sign on that property, as you well said. That sign's been destroyed, and we've had both neighbors on either side have put sheds up, and they've inched them their way into the township's area. So if we have our 20 feet, I'd be real lucky to say we had 20 feet. It may be even less than that.
Which
now.
Location?
At the one across the street from 438.
The one where there's that, just that path?
Yeah, that narrow.
Yeah.
Yep.
and they put their sheds, and I would be really lucky if they've got what we originally had. The sign is gone. Mm-hmm. It's been gone for a while.
I think Bob should check it, because I know we made extra signs for those vacant properties. So he's got it, and they were small ones.
And I talked to Carol Crawford today at for a minute, and she said that they should be signed mm-hmm. and on either side going down to the lake. They should have a sign on it so those property owners on either side know what that is.
So you think those sheds are encroaching?
I really do.
There's a fence on one side and there's a shed on the other. I think it's what it says.
It's supposed to be a 20 foot, and these sheds are really pushing their. If they're not on it, mm-hmm. part of it, they're really, really close. So I think the signs need to be put back up, so they know where their line is, and we know where our line is because we've been. There's been times when we've been told we can't use the lake because it's not ours to use. Well, it's not their lake neither. The lake is the lake. And we all should be able to use it. So we have these people from out of state, out of town, that have bought these properties, and they more or less think they own the lake. And that's what we're living with. Unfortunately, trying to use the lake sometimes can be very hard because they let you know, we're here. We're using the lake. Not your water. Water is nobody's. Water is for everybody to use. And they don't seem to like that.
So do you want are you saying that it would be helpful to have the signs down on the water ends or up on the road end or both?
I think both ends.
Well, first of all, we need to get the signs there, or we need to find out the liability. So first things first. All right, here it is. Just looking. I thought it was only 10 feet easement, but I could be wrong.
I think that there's a liability no matter what you do. I mean, mm-hmm. if you put steps there or if you don't put steps there, there's mm-hmm. somebody gets hurt on that property, there's going to be a liability. And so... you have to look at that. I understand that. But they're there for a reason. So when we bought our house, we were told that we could use that as access to the lake.
It is township property.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
And the only property that I saw from the old maps that was not for sale, it says right on there, could not be sold, was on Tibbetts. So that's beside the point, actually, anyways. So I think we need to probably review getting some signs or liability or what needs to be done, and I'm sure the insurance people could give a great direction.
Well, liability, and then...
If there's any records from way back in 1992, you could certainly see where we've gone over this before and discussed it and even went to court, and they can't just disappear. They can't be sold, and they can't just...
Oh, there's records.
So,
yeah.
Susan, are you going to talk to Bob about the signs, or Beth, or are you?
I'll talk to the insurance company.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think that's right.
Another thing we have to do is find out where the actual property line is. Because if there's encroachment, then of course that's probably kind of a gray area now as well.
It's really hard to do because you don't know where we're supposed to be. Can we be down there? Is it their property? Is it township property? That's how close they've gotten in down there. Never used to be there before. But now it is, and it's getting more.
If we don't define it, they'll just continue.
Yeah, you're right. They'll just keep moving and moving and moving.
I think that's why we had all the signs made, because that'd be the case over there at the other location, too, where I know at one point they were using it to walk across or access the other property. So it's just something that needs to be looked at.
Well, thank you for listening to us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
Thanks for coming.
Hey, review property tour. Any more discussion? Move on. Review of purchase dates. Concrete picnic tables. No, please do.
All right, so if you recall, I think there's the list on this section in your packet, and it goes over by park some of the estimates. Just a couple things that I want to share with you. First of all, Pines Park, you were looking at putting up signs, a post, and sign with no through traffic. I was out there on Sunday, and actually... First, there's actually small signs on the oak trees. They're just not particularly, they're a little on the high side, so you don't notice them right off the bat. And then
they probably put on in the wintertime.
Probably. And the other thing is, where we had noticed in early spring some tracks, I looked yesterday, and it doesn't really look like there's tremendous overutilization or somebody using a motorized vehicles back there. I didn't see any tracks. I think I would have with the way that the weather has been and the grass and so forth. And I didn't see anything out there. So my recommendation for you really would just be to leave it as is right now. Bob or I will be out there on occasion just to take a look and see how things are. If we start to see that there's a lot of motorized vehicle tracks through, because there's like kind of a cut through there or whatever, then we can look at moving those signs and placing them where they're more apparent. But I think for right now you're okay on that, if that's fine with the Parks Commission.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Your spring toys. I have a little bit of bad news that I just got late today. Well, I tried to find... Remember I told you I found a place in Indiana... And I pushed him for kind of an estimate, even though he hadn't seen him and really didn't want to give me a price. And I said, oh, come on, just between friends, what do you think it'll be? Well, that shows me. I took pictures and emailed them down now and, you know, talked to him about having those refinished, and he got the estimate back to me. Meanwhile, I'd been trying to find another source. And my idea for the source was, because I was coming up with, like, nothing, was, you know, these trick cars have some pretty cool painting on them. So whoever does that. So I called someone that I knew that owned a body shop. I called Mike Nichols.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, they both told me the same person who has retired and hasn't done anything in over 8 years and isn't in good health. So... That wasn't great, and I still held out in the back of my head, well, that's okay. We still have the person in Indiana until I got the bid late this afternoon. It's $1,000 per ride-on toy. Pretty much, you can buy new ones for that. I mean, the new ones are ranging at about $600 and some. And double ride-ons, like where you'd have, like, two kids, which kids, you know, like that. There's, you know, like... On the airplane, there's a front seat and a back seat to the airplane or whatever. Those are running about $1,300. So I've seen them as low as like $550, but probably with shipping and everything else, they're running. So you're cheaper buying new ones. So I really don't know what the answer is, but I don't think the answer is $1,000 per piece. You have seven of them and taking them to Indiana. I mean, I was going to try to figure out to get them to Indiana, you know, was our family going on a trip somewhere near there, and we could do a little side, you know.
How much do those
You guys
pay?
Think this is a joke?
I'll go on a trip.
It sounds like he doesn't want the work.
Well, could be, although he was super pleasant about it. I just think it was, you know, I don't know. He does go through how he would paint them, and it's, you know, fabulous. And I have no doubt that they would be really weatherproof and last a number of years.
Village of Bel Air just repainted four beautiful spring toys that have been there for years when my little kids were little. Call Lori Luckett, see what they did.
I know Lori Luckett. I'll call her. Perfect. There's always, see what networking does for you. That's awesome. That's fantastic. Okay, great. And you know, we were looking at doing these over the winter. So if we find someone who can do them, if we can give them
all. We can put them in the back of your car.
Perfect. Peter will help you.
Or just put them in your husband's car.
That's right. So yeah, we'll take that'll be great. That will be great. I figured there's got to be somebody who has the skill set to do that, but it's just kind of finding them, because who repaints spring toys every day? You know what I mean? Right. But so we'll keep working on that, and if we can do them all over the winter, even we'll pull them all up and do all seven of them over the winter. We'll see how that goes. I will let you know. Let's see. Pine Grove replaced the ground cover. We thought we had some left from Grace McDonald. Bob doesn't think that we have enough, really, to do that once he replaces some under the Grace McDonald. So Sinclair is getting me an estimate. They thought I would have it by Friday, the end of the day. I didn't have it. They said their supplier was delivery was not getting back to them. So, and I didn't see anything from them today. So I will get with you on that. Now, Glenn did mention that through the PAR plan, they have a grant funding. My understanding was that that is solely for things that reduce liability and are also not maintenance. I read it that is not maintenance. And to me, replacing or replenishing ground cover would be a maintenance function. Mm-hmm. But apparently he said they're giving out grants repeatedly for that. Mm-hmm. So now that doesn't fit into our cycle for right now. It would be like November for the next cycle. So we can take, let me see what that bid comes in at and see if we can go from there. Let's see. The ceiling and pavement came in very high, and so we need to,
Is that at Jen's?
Yeah, at Jen's. Mm-hmm. So,
higher than what we have on here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't want to quote it because I forget it now, but recall Bob telling me, and I recall thinking, oh, my goodness. So we'll check on that. The life rings are something that I wanted to mention to you. I was kind of glad I kept, trying to find out more and more about them. As you can see in your packet, we found some really fantastic cases. Val really sorted through and found kind of the best one on the market. But as I talked with Metro about the life rings, how they typically see the life rings when and what types of emergency used and so forth, I found out that our current life safety educator was on a committee that actually purchased all of those. Mm-hmm. And the post that we have, the ring, the rope in the bag, and the signage is all consistent with other ones around the bay and in kind of the northwestern part of Michigan. So regarding kind of a cabinet, like we thought it would protect it from the snow and ice, we can do with it what we would like to. They would prefer or have found that it's preferable to keep them out of one because they want them accessible, usable, easy, fast for people to use. That's not a bad thing to consider. The other thing I'll mention to you that we didn't realize here, I talked with Bob, and he didn't realize, and I took a look at the signage, and I could see why he didn't. It's pretty not obvious that it's this way, but the signage, you'll notice, has saving directions for, like, the summertime. They purchased all of those. He can unscrew them and actually flip them for winter.
That's great.
Winter life-saving as well. Oh. Mm-hmm. So the other option, and I think I put this in your packet,
yep.
And that is it in there?
Yep.
Okay. The theft stopper, which I thought was a pretty cool thing because, mm-hmm. Number one, if you're stealing it, you've all of a sudden created attention. And number two, if it's a true emergency and you pull it out, you want to create attention to get help, So, that's something. Now, in talking with Jen Ritter with Metro, you know, they probably would not like to see that because they actually don't mind if people practice with those things, practice life-saving, become comfortable with them, learn how to throw them. Not as in a play toy, obviously, but that was not the intent, was to just keep them there only in, you know, they don't have a problem with people learning to use them.
Well, so far, how are we doing with keeping them?
We are doing really well this year. And she said that through the grant that placed them, she could get us another couple rings to keep in reserve. So then that way, if we have them, we don't have to, you know, have a day or two delay in replacing
them.
And
maybe someday, if we get cameras down there, that might help deter that automatically.
Typically, as well, they don't like to see lettering on them, because if you put Grand Traverse Bay or Arbutus Lake, people like them for souvenirs, historically what they found. But she said she really loved the idea of putting you steal this, you steal a life on it, because pretty much who
That's
the heck would want to have that?
The truth.
And then, of course, we can mark it with East Bay Township, which is, you know, not like a souvenir type thing, but
it's
just
not
for
like
identity.
In 22, people wouldn't want to take an East Bay Township.
Right. Although, who thought 22 would be like a thing, you know what I mean? So anyway, that actually saves you considerably on some of your things, because we had each of those life ring posts with the cabinets placed at about $600. Mm-hmm. So if you guys concur with that, we will probably just not do that and make sure that those are in good shape. I went down to Arbutus, that was in good shape. Jen's, it was in good shape. I will say that the rope in the packet on the post was just infested with little ants. And so Bob's going to take that out, spray it, clean it up, put it all back together and stuff.
Awesome.
But other than that, they were in good shape and so forth. So if you guys support that, we'll keep it as is. I'll get some verbiage made up for maybe on the ring, and we'll go with that. Mm-hmm. And I'll try to get some backup life rings from Jen.
Yeah, that'd be good.
So she was a wealth of information, and it was really great to talk to her.
Thank you for that research.
It'd be nice to get preschool or some kind of young kids group to go out there, take a day and practice throwing it, you know, just to get, it's just like anyone that uses an EpiPen, if you practice it, then you're not afraid once it does come or happen, and you're prepared for it. It'd be a good learning curve for young
kids. Yeah, well, that's, I think, the point she was making, and they try to make them accessible.
Yeah, that's a good point there.
And usable, so. Let's see, Adirondack chairs, I've priced those out for you. Actually found that I like that Pollywood company was the best. I called them and said to them, you know, all right, what's the difference between you and every other, you know, wood out there? Well, they are actually, I don't have my notes here on it, but they're actually the trademark wood, everything that's made and sold through, like, L.L. Bean, Eddie Bauer, whoever else makes these chairs. If they are Pollywood, they are made through them. So they're the original. And we can secure them down to the ground. Let's see what. Let's see, where is the price on that one?
It looks like
$299.
$299.
Yeah.
Per chair.
Yep.
Which is better than what we had budgeted.
Yeah, definitely.
What colors?
You know, there's a host of natural colors. So, for example, these were getting purchased for Jen's Park, so I was probably going to go with something that complemented the cement table that you're looking at. So the cement table was in tans or browns, so I thought with the chairs, you know, either maybe a hunter green with the trees in the backdrop there. You've got some evergreens there. Or tans, they have a cedar color. So something kind of more natural. I know you guys want that beach and that park looking pretty natural. So if that works for you, we will look at getting those ordered.
I think a tan might be better with the sand color and a lighter color.
Okay.
Might not be as hot.
Yeah, I was wondering about
The darker color.
You know. Of course, we've got trees there with the way the, but still. It might get warmer with a darker color. Okay.
And that's going to be coming out of our budget, correct?
That is. That's part of the, we did supplies and maintenance and repairs. We made that allocation a couple meetings ago. Justin, I think you were at class one of those nights, but kind of switched around some money.
Yep.
So, yep, it would come out of there.
And we had budgeted $400 to $800 per chair, so this is
right. So,
saving.
Just what I'm thinking is, do we want to go ahead and make a motion on those chairs tonight, just so then maybe we can have them out towards the end of the summer, fall?
I think we already did that.
You know, I think
did we?
You did move that money. Money aside, and if there is consensus from you, I don't think that you have to have that. That's under the threshold of the purchasing power that I can go ahead and order those.
Okay.
We would like the change back, though.
I would like to ask you, there are some different things. So, for example, you've got the regular chairs and you've got the picture. The reason that I picked this one, because if you start looking at Adirondack chairs, there's several different styles. I picked this one because it has the, you can see on the back, it's not a flat back. Those are actually curved inward as they're supposed to be more comfortable. I read the reviews on, trust me, 9 different kinds, and I was like, ah. And then under the knees, you can see that that's a rolled edge instead of the squared edge, and they said that it's a much more comfortable. So this one was kind of like not the, you know, the king's chair that they had all the bells and whistles, but this was probably the upper of the average to
looks
it just
fine.
Looked like a nice comfortable chair, and the reviews read the same way.
Okay.
We'll go ahead and do that. Let's see. But what I wanted to tell you as well is you can do the two chairs with an attached little table between it. So I don't know if you're interested in that. It's not very expensive to add that little attached table between. Kind of a nice thing. Or you can leave
that might be nice.
I think that'd be really nice. Yeah.
I would use it.
Okay. All right.
Well, it might be nice. What if you get two people that don't know each other and they're connected by a table?
They'll get to know each other, though. Maybe we just made friends out of two unknown strangers.
Right. They'll be on their phones. They won't talk to each other.
There's probably some truth to that. But, okay, so we'll look at doing that with a little table in between. See how you like that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you can look at that for some other parks later. Move on to the concrete tables. I have two vendors that had really nice concrete tables. You can see the one there is Belson Outdoors. They ended up being kind of the best price, best service, best options. And I talked with them, and they guided me to this CRT 6H. There was like two other options, and she said no. She said, we do this for parks all the time, all the place. She said, you really just want this one, best for maintenance, best for all of these things. And you would look at like the light brown or probably the Santan. The right four columns, the LSB, Etch, Permastone, and Durabrite, it gets, as you can see, the LSB is much smaller aggregate there, and then it gets more rocky towards the Durabrite, is really chunky in the concrete. This is in the frame. And what she was talking about, and I said, well, what do you think about that Etch finish? She said, that's the one that she likes best. It shows a little bit of texture and natural without being kind of jagged and chunky. So I was thinking about that etched finished and either the sand tan or the light brown with the corresponding top.
I have a question about this. When we had last discussed picnic tables, I thought it was agreed that we were only going to look at, or we all liked, the ones that had the handicap spots.
This has a handicap spot.
It does. It's just not.
It does. It's just not on this sheet. Yep. This is.
It says universal access. Why I thought it was.
Yep, it is. And no, I didn't get the umbrella hole in it as well. I mean, at Jen's Park, I didn't think you really needed that. So this did bring to light kind of another issue, and this is what I want to talk to you about. This thing is not light. It's heavy. We need a forklift to take it off and put it there. It's about 1,000 to 1,300 pounds. Well, one of the reasons we're looking at it is theft prevention. And we decided that if someone decided to steal it, we want to catch it on YouTube. And
that would be YouTube.
It's going to be pretty funny. I mean,
where Jen's Park is?
Sure. Jen's Park is up on Grand Traverse Bay, right next to North Park. What's the name of the hotel right to the...
Yeah, it used to be the old Waterfront Inn, sort of in that area. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just down from Tamarack, just east of Tamarack, a few lots.
Okay.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Yep, between Cherry Tree and Tamarack in there.
And you have to look carefully for it.
It's tiny.
Small, so.
It's got a flushing bathroom, so nice. It has water there. It's got a parking lot and then kind of a natural tree line and then back to the beach, so you really don't see the beach from nice the road.
Park.
Yeah, it is a very nice park. Now, so when we did some beach grooming last year, the contractor came in, couldn't get through on the wood trail because he would have torn it up. He came through on the right side where there was a retention basin over there. And because of the way that how wet it was at that time of the year and so forth last year, it created a little bit of a rut there. So Bob and I were like, all right, are we straightening this out? Are we going to keep it there? Well, you can still see it there because we've used it since then, because getting back in there is tough. So we're not particularly thrilled about having that way and then this way. We liked it before when it was kind of natural looking over there. And then we're having trouble with this walkway. I mean, so I have a fairly expensive fix that everybody so far likes the idea of, but it will be... there for a very long time and be very functional. And that would be, and I called Brian Sousa and said, hey, what do you think about this and can you get me a price? So he did a little figuring and I've got a couple numbers for you and I'm pretty much going to shock you in a minute. But I want you to hear the plus side first. And that is what we would do is he priced it at 6 foot or 8 foot wide. I'm suggesting that we put in a concrete walk back there, but we don't do it in just a straight sidewalk fashion. We do it wide enough, but keep it narrow enough, yep, keep it as narrow as possible, yeah, wide enough that we can get equipment back in there. So it can fit the trailer width, it will fit a truck, you know, and we meander it, okay? Mm-hmm. It's kind of meandering now a little bit. Mm-hmm. We do that same thing so it's not a straight, you know, a little highway there. And we do it in stamped concrete. So we make it look very natural. We make it almost look like a stone path through there. So we come in with a stone path wide enough to get equipment back there. We need to beach groom. We need to take in a 1,000-pound picnic table. We need to bring back mowers, bring back trailers for picking up, debris or whatever. We can take it right back on that concrete back there. But this is probably in the neighborhood of $14,000 to $17,000. But it's a heck of an investment, and it will not need to be maintained. It'll be useful. It's something to think about.
So with that, that would be coming off of the, if you're heading towards the water, it'd be on the, you would be expanding most likely on the west side.
It would go
of
right
the
where the
one.
Current walkway is. We would rip up that current walkway.
Okay.
Yep, we'd rip up the current walkway. You know how you come up to the walkway, you go down a little bit, and then there's like an open area? Well, we found that not really anybody uses that open area. So we would get rid of that, bring that down in scale. We could probably throw some natural plantings up there because where the walkway was, it would be empty then.
Mm-hmm.
So throw some natural plantings to kind of bring it down a little. And then take it back out and maybe slightly expand the area where the current picnic table is.
Would the path go to the picnic table and end?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would actually go about halfway between. We can still have it going right out towards the bay there. Where we'd have to end it at the high water mark. Now, they've done all of that research because of the kayak launch that they looked at. And to me, it looks like on the map you'd go about halfway to where that walkway is now. But, you know, that's a good point, Corey, in that you wouldn't have to do that. You could end it with some patio there and just make it natural there.
I know that the boardwalk goes all the way to the water,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes it's covered with sand, sometimes it's not. So are you proposing we rip out all the boardwalk and then just put the stone path like halfway
yep.
to the high water mark?
Yep. Yep, it would go to the high water mark, which is about halfway where it's from where it's at now.
I guess I'd have to see the location and the width of that before, only because I think the intent of Jen's was to keep it in its natural state. I mean, I don't even think we even were in all agreement of beach grooming, but so it is as it is. But there's some clumps of bushes and natural habitat in there, and that's where you would see the red-winged blackbirds and all that. Well, it depends on if you're widening a path to get equipment down there, you know, how much is that going to encroach on that that little bit of plantings of natural growth there. So I mean I don't know, because I can't visualize it.
Currently a 6-foot path, so where this boardwalk is right now, I'm pretty sure that's a 6-foot path wide.
That seems right.
So it'd be an extra foot on each side.
It's something to consider. I don't expect mm-hmm. you guys to make a decision today. Kind of think about it. You know, I don't know if it's the right choice for you guys to make or not. It's just offering a suggestion. I see operationally where, you know, we're not happy with going through terrain, but we also, when we have to do something back there, like move something back there, address something, Bob goes back to do some work. He's pulling the trailer back there.
If we get this picnic bench, can we currently place it?
That's another question that I had, because of this, you know, we're worried about breaking the boards, getting it back in there. Bob is less concerned about what sits there because of the way that the braces are and the direction that the picnic table will be sitting. So we think we'll be fine with the picnic table. But I am concerned in getting it back there, how we're going to get it back there. So I don't know if I can. I haven't checked on the forklift yet, or if we offload it onto a trailer, and then I don't know that yet.
So. And that'd be the other thing, too, the delivery, you know, because you're expected probably, I mean, they'll take it to the end of the trailer, but you're responsible yep. from that end.
Matter of fact, when you pick shipping on these, you have to identify, you know, if you need to be called, if there's anybody there, because it might be like a park where no one's there, and if it's expected to be downloaded off of the truck and to where it goes, so... Yeah, you have to specify those. So anyway, this was one company. You can see the cost of it with the shipping. Obviously, the shipping is not inexpensive. It comes in not bad compared to, let's see, where were we looking at? We are over a little bit on this, but not by very much. And I don't think when we priced this, we were considering kind of the long-term and the theft reduction that the concrete would offer. So that is one option there.
Did you say that the stamped stone path was maintenance free?
Yeah.
I'd be interested in at least seeing that drawn up. I mean, what do you guys think about just seeing it drawn up? What that would look like?
That costs money.
How about if I do this as an interim step, maybe, Justin, if I can update these figures based on what you're not doing. So the $600 per post here, the $600 per post there that we're not doing. The spring toys might come in much more favorable than $1,000 a spring toy. Let me take a look at what those numbers are. Clearly, this won't add up to that concrete
mm-hmm.
path, but we can see what type of a dent you could make in that and take a look at how that fits into this year's budget, and then you're starting to look at next year's budget as well.
Do we know of any other beachfront properties that use a concrete path that we could test?
I can only think of them.
Possibilities, or
I can only think of them with just, you know, sidewalks, regular sidewalks. Mm-hmm. I guess I was really keeping in mind, you know, what Sue said that I have kind of heard echoed, which is they really want to make it look natural. And I do think if you put a regular sidewalk, even like a meandering sidewalk in there, it probably is not going to give you the look that she just communicated about. But if you've ever seen that stamped concrete, and I can get some samples of it or pictures of it for you, if you've ever seen it, it can look very, very nice, and you can do it in some colors that would be extremely natural looking. Like I said, it could look like a stone path headed back in there. So I can get you more information.
And I just wondered, you know, about having this, the cement picnic table, because even, say, the what if, even if you do a wide path and all that, I mean, 1,000 pounds on those, I don't know how much those would even hold when you're talking a lift truck and then moving it out there. So
maybe a lot more than 1,000.
Yeah, so I'm just wondering, maybe we might want to, for that park, reinvent and see what the next best picnic table might be other than cement.
For this year, let me do this. Let me have Bob put a regular picnic table back out there. I'm pretty sure that we have an extra one. Mm-hmm. I say that not knowing, but I think that we do. Let's put the picnic table back out there, just a regular one, and let's get the Adirondack chairs out there. Mm-hmm. And then let's take a look at that pricing on the thing. But that'll give people a place to sit.
Didn't you buy a picnic table at a garage sale?
That's a children's picnic table.
And that's
and I didn't buy it. I got it for free. So a neighbor had put it on Facebook, and I said, we'll take it. So, and I actually have that. As soon as they get it cleaned up, it'll go over to Killingsworth. Or, I'm sorry, not Killingsworth, Pine Grove.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
we'll see how the kids like it and use it over there. So, anyway... Let's see, what else did we have?
What about the kids?
Grace,
the kids' plastic picnic table.
That one is in your, kind of the best one I could find,
that's
I
cute.
Think.
I like it.
Is this one right here that you notice? Let's see, what company is this? This is Bell's, no, this is Park and Pool. If you look at the bottom of the page, Park and Pool. This is as kind of maintenance-free and as easy as it gets with this one is this recycled plastic kids picnic table. This is a toddler size, so specifically much smaller. And I can get that in. They all have a black frame, and then they have different plank colors on the top. But I just threw in a cedar because I thought I would kind of...
It looks nice.
You know. Would you guys... Then we were talking about this at Grace McDonald.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think about that? Go ahead with that. You do have that in the budget and at less than...
Oh, way less.
Yeah, this is less than what you have in the budget. Would you like me to go ahead and get that one in and get it placed?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So Adirondack chairs and this so far. Power washing the basketball court. Bob is thinking that he may end up doing that with the part-time help that we have in. The bids were high, and it's just stressing him that the bids were that high, and he's like, I know we can just get out there and
they
do that.
Higher than
1,000?
One of them was just under that at 900, and the other was a little bit higher with some contingency numbers. Just knowing Bob, it's still killing him having somebody else do it when he knows he thinks. And, you know, I put together...
Does he have time to do that?
Well, that's what I said to him. I said,
I'd rather pay the $1,000.
Get it done.
Yeah,
that's what...
Not that he's perfectly...
Because right now is the time of year to be using,
yep.
You know, and it
yep.
should have been really done 2 months ago.
Yep. So, and when you put together the numbers of... what it costs to have two people out there, 8 hours to do it, so forth. It adds up. It adds up, so you understand why the bids are what they are.
Can you just
yeah.
do it?
Yeah.
Don't tell him.
I'll take care of it.
Or just be like, oh, so-and-so is coming over on Monday to power wash the basketball.
Yeah.
Or what you could do is just tell him when the guy's actually there, and then by the time Bob gets out there, he'll already be done and on his way.
Sounds good. Trust me, I don't think he'll mind taking something off of his plate.
I don't think so.
So I think it'll be just fine. But he was trying to be cognizant of the budget and so forth. Yep.
I mean, we budget it.
Yep.
That's what we budgeted.
Yep.
So.
Okay. No problems. We can do that. for you guys for sure. I wanted to get a chance to talk with you about the invasive species, the autumn olive. I did reach out to a nonprofit group to get some help for stump cutting that, and then the Invasive Species Network would spray for it after they stump cut it, same day. But I'm not getting that volunteer help from that nonprofit group. And we did have some two residents that I think had mentioned that they would help. Haven't been in contact with them. I haven't put out a request to the Invasive Species Network, but I would like to just see if they can take care of the cutting and the herbicide application. Would you guys have any problem with checking on that and the cost? Their rates, clearly, you can tell from the herbicide application, were very reasonable. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking that we should be able to get some help in numbers that way.
I think, isn't that either in the fall or in the spring?
The best time is, we had it scheduled in August, which is fine, but yes, Okay. Later, it's not in the springtime. Okay. Because when you apply the herbicide, it doesn't go down into the roots when they're seeding or whatever they're doing. It's more in the fall that they'll just sap it right into their roots and treats it better. Let's see. I think there was also another thing with invasive species. Oh, I did want to tell you that on one of the properties that you looked at, I talked to the neighboring property owner, and there's some oak wilt on about three of our trees that are on our property. Now, they have some oak wilt on their property as well.
Where?
This is on one of the properties that you looked at. I think it's the one with the stairs that you were talking about with potential for. It's a really steep property.
Oh. Is it on Peninsula
it's
Trail?
It's
on
like Peninsula Trail. Okay. It's Lori Will Lane tees right into it. It's right about that section.
Do you remember the neighbor?
No.
I think that was that wider one that had
I think so too, because
two seasonal houses on either side.
Not the neighboring property, but the one next to it lost three big ones.
Well, they're
a couple years ago.
They're having theirs treated for oak wilt, and they said that they would be happy as long as they're treating theirs to go ahead and take care of the three trees on the township property.
How expensive that is?
That's what they, you know, generously offered
awesome.
To do. So
extraordinarily expensive, because that's my neighborhood, and I've got five oak beauties, and if they get hit, I can't save them.
So, I mean, I think that it's probably the best course of action.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I'll proceed with
it also
being in touch with them. And
increases the opportunity of the tree surviving.
No, I don't know if it's, and I'll have to clarify with them if they are treating or if it's already to the point where they have to do
the
some
removal.
Remove. Mm-hmm. So, I'll find that out. But I mean, I think that's a...
What are you going to do? It has the disease.
Yeah, I mean, whether it's treating it or just damage control, either one needs to be done. Keep
right, I agree.
And like I said, very, very generous offer.
You sure you heard that right?
What's that?
You sure you heard that?
I did hear that right.
All right.
I almost felt a little guilty at how quickly I said, well, that would be very wonderful of you. We would thank you very much. I would be happy to authorize that as soon as I can.
Can you get back to me on who that is?
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of the two property owners. It's one of them on either side. I don't know if they're on the east or the west side. So, all right. Well, I'm going to take care of those purchases that we've talked about so far, and we'll get to those. All right.
Thanks, Beth.
Great.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thanks, Beth. Okay, five, Phragmites. Susan?
Yeah, I noticed we were talking about the autumn olive, but maybe you wait a minute, Beth, that years ago we treated Phragmites, but we went through the conservation district, East Bay Township did. And I think the township board did a blanket application form so that each property owner would not have to pay individually, because it's different on inland lakes than it is on shoreline, big lake. So I just noticed it on Rennie Lake, three areas. So I guess I'm just in question. I'm not looking for the parks, basically, to do anything, and maybe this probably isn't the appropriate time, but to maybe talk about the getting some kind of blanket application again form. I mean, property owners would have to pay their own to get treated, but just bring it to the attention.
I'm not familiar with what we did. I mean, I was probably a trustee, maybe, or maybe I wasn't.
I think you were at the county.
At the county.
Yeah.
So, you know, I do think you're right about that. But I can take a look into what they did and what the current situation is too. Do you know if that was organized through the Invasive Species Network?
Mm-hmm. And okay. The Conservation District.
Okay. Well, yeah. I'm going to be in touch with them anyway to see if they can help more intensely with the other. So.
Yeah, and to reach out. I don't know what they do nowadays, but I know the Phragmites needs to be done in the fall. So.
And that's Rennie. Did you say
Rennie Lake?
Rennie Lake.
Three properties.
Mm-hmm. Three properties. And then you mentioned they were someplace else too, Phragmites.
All that I've noticed is on Rennie Lake.
Oh, okay.
One of the bigger, large amounts, well, there's two large amounts. One is the old Boy Scout camp, and then the other one is possibly, it's borderline that Union Township, East Bay Township. And then there's a new site that I had never seen before. We have a little island out there, and there's two growths coming up very clearly out of that area.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, I am not familiar with it, but I'll become familiar with it and get back with you guys.
Thank you. I don't know how you remember everything.
All right.
Sometimes I don't, so feel free to comment.
Okay.
All right, let's move on to public comment.
That's you.
No, we are new at last fall. Residents of the Keys, they moved up from town from Hackney, and Kate here is a civics class that required
attending the meeting.
They're going to need a signature when
I can help her with that. Hey, Paige, come up to the podium. Tell us your name, what school you go to, the class you're taking, and why you chose this meeting. Come on.
They told me it'd be short.
Otherwise, you don't get signatures.
I'm Paige McDowell. I go to Central High School. I am a junior. I'm going to be a junior. And I'm taking the online civics course during the summer so that I have room for other classes during the school year.
Nice.
And I chose this one because parks, like, this kind of thing's more interesting to me than any of the other governmental meetings.
Yeah. You were right, they are.
Okay.
Well, thanks for coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks.
And what was your address?
I live in...
We've been there 6 months.
Yeah. 3743 Forest Lake Drive. So by Grace McDonald Park, kind of.
Nice.
Great. Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
Come back anytime.
Okay. Any final comments? Okay, meeting adjourned.
Great.
Should have came last week. We were here for 40.